Amen. You may be seated. I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, to chapter 15, and we will be looking at this passage as we focus on that the verse 11 of this passage. Jesus says this at the end of this passage in John. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be filled. I want to ask you this morning where your joy meter is reading lately. Yesterday, this is part of my testimony of goodness and thanksgiving. I didn't want to embarrass him, but Lou, my car temperature gauge was spiking. And Lou came and he helped, and he changed the thermostat, he changed the hoses, and it's still going a little bit up, so we're going to have to try to figure that out. But my heat in my car was up. Where's your joy meter this morning? Is it full or is it closer to empty? Church of Jesus Christ, where's our joy meter? Is it full or is it closer to empty? See, the reality is that for Christians, often our joy in Christ, through a present reality, often like the moon, it waxes and it wanes. What that means is when the moon is waxing, it's going towards being full, the full moon. When it's waning, it's going towards being that little sliver. And that's what our lives look like quite often when it comes to the joy of the Lord. Now, for the moon, that's a natural reality in the place that God has placed it as it orbits around the earth and the sun. And as the earth and the moon revolve around the sun remains constant. And I want to suggest to you that it is not God who ever changes. That the waning of our joy is often a result, not of a natural orbit that we're in, but the natural reality of sin that comes into our life after the fall. And we find ourselves wandering from the Lord, and as we do, we find our joy in the Lord waning. Well, there's a number of keys to what it means for the Christian to have the fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. The first few words of this verse 11 point us to the keys that are found in the rest of the passage. Jesus says, "These things that I have spoken to you," that the purpose of what he has just said is that his joy might be in us and our joy might be complete. And the keys are found in the preceding passage. So read with me this passage this morning. John 15, a very familiar passage to many of us. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion, and here's the important words he has to say to them and to us this morning. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's pray. Father, would you now, through the power of your Spirit, take the word of truth that never changes, because it comes from your mouth and you never change. You remain the same yesterday and today and forever. We pray that you would apply that truth to the power of your Holy Spirit. Take it to each heart in the unique way in which you know they need to apply the truth of your word. Unwrap it for them as we study together. And may you find glory in changing us this morning. And may we find a full and more complete joy, both as individuals and as families and as a church family. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are a number of keys in this passage, and I want to suggest four. This is a passage that is a complex and a deep passage in some ways, and on the other hand, it's a very simple passage. But I want to suggest that there are four keys to finding full joy in Jesus Christ this morning. The first is, Christian, don't mix up joy and happiness. Most of us seek happiness. We are in a headlong pursuit of that which makes me happy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being happy. I'm not suggesting there is, but it's not the same as joy. If you divide the word, in the Old English, the word hap means chance or luck. Therefore, happenstance makes me happy. For instance, well, I'll take somebody even more faithful. When the Cardinals win, Pauline Stillwell is happy. Oh boy, is she happy. If the Cubs lose, she's even more happy. But if the Cubs win and the Cardinals lose, she's not happy. In fact, just an aside, one season, the Cubs needed to win for the Cardinals to move closer to the playoffs. And I told Pauline that I was rooting for the Cubs, and she gave me the eye. And that isn't going to happen again. But happenstance is that which happens by chance. It happens if we happen to have a good day, or we happen to, our boss happens to be in a good mood, or our spouse happens to be in a good mood, or whatever. It's chance. And it makes us happy, but happiness is momentary. It's based upon things that happen in our life that are fine to pursue. But if we mix happiness up with joy, joy is an eternal reality and is based on who we are in Jesus Christ. And we can find joy in the most unusual, unhappy circumstances of our lives, where God in his grace reminds us who we are in him in a moment where the rest of life seems to be going out of control. And all of a sudden, we can find joy. Many of you have heard this example before, so please forgive me. But when my mother died, she was killed in an accident when I was 20 years old. And it seemed like everything, I was gutted, I was turned inside out and upside down and put in a paper bag, and that paper bag was spinning and it was getting punched from every direction, and I didn't know north from south. Nothing made sense. And I was here in the States, and I went back to Pakistan, and I was greeted by my father, and he was in worse condition, and it scared me almost as much as my mom dying. And we sat down and we were weeping together as we had just met. And my father said a sentence that after I told him, he said, years later, he goes, I don't remember saying that. And my brothers don't remember saying that, but it was what he said. He looked up through tears and he said, I don't know why these things happen, but I know I serve a great God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the deepest sorrow that I've ever had in my life, there came a sense of peace and even joy in knowing that God was sovereign. In the midst of a world that was going completely out of control. Was I happy? Absolutely not. But was there joy in knowing that God was on the throne? Yes. And it brought me through a time that is horrible. Now our world will go after happiness. They follow the lead of the author of Ecclesiastes, who sought happiness in every aspect, whether it was in knowledge or in wealth or in pleasure. And everything he said was a vanity. It was dust in the wind. And so it is with happiness. Yes, we may get a high from whatever we're smoking or not smoking, or get a buzz from whatever we're drinking, or the pleasure of sexual immorality is just for a moment, and then we end up needing it again in a deeper, higher way and more lonely than we've ever been before. And it's not lasting. It's dust in the wind. And if we confuse happiness and joy, we will be profoundly disappointed. Because happiness comes through circumstances, joy comes through a person. So don't ever mix up happiness and joy. Both are fine, but they can't be mixed up. Second key is, don't mix up the goal of the Christian life. Often people mistake the goal of the Christian life and they reference this passage. Now hear me when I say this. The goal of the Christian life is not to bear fruit. Now that may shock some of you, but we will point to this passage and we will say the goal of the Christian life is to bear much fruit. It isn't. The goal of the Christian life is to abide in Christ. And when we abide in Christ, fruit will naturally come. But if we go off like chickens with our head cut off, trying to bear much fruit without abiding, neither will that fruit last, nor will it bring glory to God, but it will definitely not bring us joy. We will see that bearing much fruit is part of joy, but it's not the goal of joy. It's a result that comes from abiding in Christ. In these 11 verses, 9 times, do you think John's trying to get our attention? 9 times John uses the term abide, abide. And then there's several references where it's not used, but it's inferred to. You cannot get away from the reality that God, that Jesus is saying that the goal to joy is abiding in Christ Jesus. And joy comes from abiding in Christ. John, in verse 15, Jesus says this, that my joy might be in you. See, the source of joy is Jesus Christ. And our joy is only full and complete when it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Being found in Christ this morning will bring you much joy. And if you're in union with Christ, then that joy, if you're not in union with Christ, that joy will be elusive to you. But if you're in union with Christ, that joy is available to you, though it may ebb and flow from time to time. But maybe this morning, like I said, you are like the author of Ecclesiastes. You've got the two mixed up. And for you, abiding in Christ is a drudgery that you think is just going to make you some cold, calculated person, and you seek joy, you seek happiness in a number of other sources. You need to know that joy is found even at the end of Ecclesiastes, a good book to read backwards sometimes. Please make it through Ecclesiastes, because if you don't, it's very depressing. But like him, the journey finds its end in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, then joy will never be found by you. And you will continue to chase the wind until such time that you also come to your senses and realize it's not in your doing, and it's not in your chasing of pursuits that are momentary. But joy is found in abiding in Christ. Believer, wherever you are this morning, maybe you are in a depressed reality or state, maybe you're in pain and sorrow, maybe you're in a place of wonderful happiness, that's fine. Understand that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. And there is joy in that reality. That you are Christ, and Christ in all of his fullness is yours. And that is what brings us joy. The third key is found in verse 7. Jesus says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. The third key to finding fuller, deeper, richer joy is for the word of God to abide in us. Now, another thing that I want to clarify. There's a profound difference between you being in the Word and the Word being in you. You can read. I had a professor in college. I took Bible as literature class. Boy, we read the Bible. Didn't make a difference in anyone's life in that class, because they just read it like literature, because the Word did not abide in them. Now, it's important for us, don't get me wrong, to be in the Word. The Bible actually tells us, be in the world, but not of the world. Let me just reverse that. We're to be in the Word and of the Word. That the Word of God is to abide in us. And what does that mean? It means that the Word of God is to be active, moving, changing, transforming, healing, redeeming, convicting unto righteousness. That God will continually, through his word, grow us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And it is in those moments of conviction and obedience towards the word of God that the word of God takes root in our soul. But we will never get there if we're not in the word. If we just say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants and he can use whatever source he wants, then you're on a path of deception that will get you in more confusion, because the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything that is contrary to the Word of God. And the way the Spirit will speak to you is through the Word, because through the Word he brings glory to the Son and to the Father. So the Word of God abides in us through obedience to his Word. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And then Jesus uses an example. The Son of God uses an example, just as I have. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now that's an important verse, and the reason it's an important verse is this. That Jesus is actually saying that our union with him can be as close and as intimate as a union between the Son and the Father. Wow. Is that our goal? Or is our goal just to live the Christian life and say, well, I have Jesus along if I need him? Or are we striving for an intimate union with Jesus Christ through obedience that makes our life more reflective of Him. We're to be in the Word of God, but more importantly, the Word of God is to be in us. Why? So that we bear much fruit. I've used this example also. I'm just running out of examples after 15 years. If you go to Eckert's in the fall and you ask one of your children to say, what kind of tree is that? And they'll look at you like you've either been drinking or you need to go to where Doug works. Yeah, and they'll say, what do you mean? And you say, what tree is that? And they'll say, it's an apple tree, Dad. Get your eyes checked. Well, how do you know it's an apple tree? Maybe because there's apples all over it. See, when we abide in Christ and in His Word, and His Word abides in us, we naturally are going to bear fruit, and that fruit is going to point to the person of Jesus Christ. So the question you might ask is, where you work, where you play, where you study, where you live, if people look at your life, would they say, well, of course he's a Jesus tree, because the fruit of the Spirit and righteousness and godliness and grace and love abound. It's as obvious as that child who says, there's apples all over that tree. It's an apple tree. See, the fourth key is bearing fruit. And you might say, whoa, let's back up, because you just told us that bearing fruit wasn't the goal of the Christian life. It's not the goal of the Christian life. It's the result of abiding in Jesus Christ. And if there's not fruit in your life, you may want to check out the abiding part. If you're actually in Jesus Christ. Now, there are seasons in our time where it seems like that ebbs and flows as well, where we see great fruit, and then other times where we don't. But the fruit that comes from abiding in Christ and an obedience to His Word is fruit that brings glory to God. You can see verse 8. It is to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Therefore, it will lead to joy. Because, Christian, there is no greater joy than when your life reflects the life of Christ and brings the utmost glory to the Father. And in that moment in time, there will be a joy that you want to live in for the rest of your life. It is a joy that we will have in eternity. But ask the question once again, does your life lack joy? The session thinks about these things. Does our church lack joy? Is there fruit that brings glory to the Father? Joy is a very fundamental, important part of the Christian life. Jesus said, I gave you these words, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full, might be complete. So take inventory for a moment. Think through your life and ask yourself, are you being duped by the devil and pursuing happiness and missing out on joy? Because for a moment, he will give you whatever you want. In fact, the devil will pull up in a limousine and chauffeur you to wherever you want to go to search for happiness in order to keep you from abiding in Christ and finding joy in him. Second, are you in Christ this morning? And if you are not, come to Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. And your life will be changed and transformed, because it will be now in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not an accessory to my outfit. When we are in union with Christ, we are in Christ, we're enveloped in him, and the Father sees us as righteous in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us to that end. Third, ask yourself, are you in the Word? But more importantly, is the Word in you? Is the Word living and active in you so that people can see the redemptive work of God in you? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? So that, purpose, all may see the surpassing power of God at work within us. See, brothers and sisters in the church, we're so busy shining our jars of clay that when sinners come into our church, they look at us and see their own sinful reflection. They walk away. I can't be like them. What are we? We're sinners saved by grace. The jar of clay is not the important part. It's the work of God within us. It's a work. It's a word of God abiding in you. And then finally, look at your life. Ask your friends to look at your life. You ask your spouse to look at your life. She'll be the one, or he'll be the one who'll be. No, she'll be the one. Guys never talk about these things. And say, look at me. What's the fruit that you see? Is it greed? Is it anger? Is it the pursuit of knowledge? Is it, what is it that you see when you look at me? Or is it evident to you and to all around that I am a Jesus tree? Because Christ dwells in me and I abide in him, and his word in me is bringing forth fruit to the glory of the Father. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word this morning. And we praise you and we thank you that you are a God who is intimate, loves us, came to this world to live our life, to die for the penalty of our sin. Father, would you cleanse us from all unrighteousness and lead us forth in joy. Holy Spirit, would you help us to take truthful inventory of our life? Help us as a church to take inventory of our life as a church. And may we know the fullness of your joy. Father, the gateway to that joy is nothing but the blood of Jesus. And as we come to the table of the Lord, may we come with a deep and profound joy in our hearts this morning. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to do things a little different. After we confess our sins corporately and